This is episode number 24 with Tisha Padgett.
I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream. And they fill it with their secrets. It's called Inception.
Hello everyone and welcome to Cerebral Mind Control. My name is Hadlin. I am a hypnotist, magician, mentalist, and speaker. Every week I will bring to you a driven, focused artist or entrepreneur and pick their brains on how they have learned to control their minds for success. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here we go. Welcome back to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. This episode has been brought to you by Hadlin Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services. On this episode, we speak with Tish and learn about how she came up with her idea for Delish. We find out about her motivating factors and where they are derived from. We hear and learn about her father, about her traveling experience, and about Tish's next cafe. Tish also gives some very important advice and wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, you will definitely enjoy the content of this episode. I must also note that when I went and executed this interview, I unfortunately was not prepared with the proper audio equipment. She has a very, very busy cafe here in Saskatoon, and I was not prepared for the amount of background noise that was picked up during this episode. However, the content is just too good to not share with you all, so that's why we're still putting this out there. Please enjoy the episode and excuse my mistake. All right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, Tish.
All right. Welcome to the podcast, Tish. Thank you so much for having me in your cafe.
I'm happy to have you.
Excellent. Yeah, we've done a lot of work together in the past. I've done a lot of shows here in your lovely business. How many years have you been doing this for?
I had my three-year anniversary on January 15th.
January 15th.
Yep. It was also my sonny's 17th birthday. I opened it on his 14th birthday. It's a special day.
So. Oh, right on. So it all kind of links together.
Yeah.
Very cool. What, I know you've probably told this many times before, but how did you come up with this idea to have a shop, your own cafe?
Well, I started a cafe 20 years ago when I was 23, before children and before real life, and I was absolutely ignorant to the reality that it may be. I had gone to hotel and restaurant administration and I knew I wanted to have a business, but I never knew, you know, I never knew what to expect really, but I just had this blind luck, I guess, that I could do it and I wanted to do it. I'd always wanted to have a restaurant, so I did it back then. And the first day I opened, I made $323 and I needed that to buy the groceries for the next day. Because I cut it that tight. I used line of credit, I used credit cards. And so fast forward, I got married, had children, had done a couple other businesses, and I always had it in the back of my head that I love to get back to the coffee shop. And I tried finding something else, like I was going to maybe go into nursing or just something a more of a real job that had a bit more security. And I just couldn't stop making business plans in my spare time. I've got books of ideas,
wow,
like probably 10 right now that are I really believe would fly.
Right on.
And I was out of a kind of a nasty divorce and not feeling confident at all, believing all the terrible things that had been said to me, but a little fire was still burning me that I can be successful, I can go out there and do something. And I made a couple offers to lease other places and then I pulled them out at the last minute. I just couldn't go through with it. And this building came up And I made offers to lease, and they wanted to sell it, but I kept trying, and I would come by, I'd go get a coffee, and I'd just sit outside my car. And the last time was after I ran the half marathon in Saskatoon. It was raining. I went and got a Starbucks coffee. I was in my car, and I just had a little cry. I was just like, if this is going to happen, if this is supposed to happen, can you, like, I need this to happen. Like, I was just so needing things to come together right. for me. And I honestly would look at it, and I'm like, if I'm going to be here, if this is going to be me, then I need to be shown. Like, I need this to happen. And they did accept the next offer after that. And so then I just went ahead. And as far as the idea for Delish, I have been doing all kinds of volunteer. I've been doing all kinds of event planning. I've been scattered in so many directions over this, you know, the last couple of years before I started the cafe, of things that I loved, but I didn't have them all pulled together in a way to make a living. And I really felt scattered, and I wasn't my best in any of them. So I'm like, if I'm going to ever have another cafe, I want it to encapsulate everything that I think makes life delish. So the really great food, like, I've got really healthy choices that I want in my life, but I also believe that a glass of wine and a piece of great chocolate cake is important and a part of what makes life delish, balance. Right. And I wanted music in my life. I wanted great art. And I don't have any gifts in this area. I was in band for 8 years, but I'm not on a stage, but I feel like I love it and I want it in my life, but I had never get out. So here I can book acts, and I feel like it's in my living room, and I get to live That's through these awesome. People. Same yeah. with everyone who works for me. I've had such great people, and they go off on their adventures, and I get to live through them. And I feel like it's a great sharing of energy. They come to me, and I know they're going to leave me, but I don't take it personally, and I just love, I love encouraging that, and I get to send them off. And it's really cool. Like, I have one of my best employees ever, Josie. She's like my daughter. She's in Australia now, and I really feel like I'm there.
Your and, family.
Yeah, and I feel like, yeah. So back to, so this is what makes life delish to me, this. And I also have a huge part of my heart that I want to use the community that I've built and, you know, work to get the confidence and the support of for my philanthropical, what the hell is that word?
Philanthropy?
Well, just for like my other volunteer stuff that I yeah. used to do, you know, and I've started to do a little bit through here, but that's a huge part of where my heart's going to end up, I know, through this.
Right.
So I need to pay my bills for a bit. I need to take care of some stuff, get my legs under me, and then, you know, be ready to spread the goodness around. So.
Awesome. That's yeah. a great philosophy and mindset to mm-hmm. have with anything that you do. That's, mm-hmm. where do you think that stemmed from?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've always had a soft spot for helping. And it just seems like a natural. Like, it doesn't seem like any effort for me. Like, at Christmas, before Christmas, we were collecting coats and boots and things, because a girlfriend's husband works up at various northern reserves, and we made a connection at Hatchet Lake, and it's only fly-in. It is just incredibly desperate situation, and I'm just like, it was just a no-brainer. He's going up anyways, so we've been sending stuff up to the reserves that he goes with, because he has room in his van, and there I arrange with Transwest Air to get it up there for pretty much nothing. Because it's just, and so I collected it here, and it doesn't cause me any stress. Those type of things, I have energy forever for, because it just seems like it's a no-brainer.
Okay.
And where does it come from? I don't know.
It was ingrained in you.
Well, yeah, I just really feel blessed, and I don't know.
Just want to share that with other people.
Well, yeah, and it's not hard. You know, and I really feel like so many people, they would love to do something, they would love to help, they just... They may not have, you know, they just don't have it coming to them how easy it is. But if someone says, hey, just bring this down to Delish on this day or do this,
yeah.
you just make it really easy. They want to help. I find that everybody does want to help, but they yeah. don't know. They need an avenue.
Right. And you need someone to show them where
yeah,
and how.
I think so. And what was I going to say on that? Oh, my first... desire was to, my next cafe, I wanted it to be a not-for-profit restaurant.
Okay.
Based on a couple different models. John Bon Jovi has one, okay. But there's a bunch around, and it's kind of funny because when I was trying to explain it to people before I opened, they're like a not-for-profit cafe, and they're like, well, is there really any profit running a small business anyways? Like, it's kind of funny because there's not a whole bunch of profit. I'm very happy, but run it in such a way where people can volunteer hours. Anyone can come in and buy a meal, and they can, you know, pay what they can or pay for it in volunteer hours. You know, and I wouldn't do it at this location, but I am looking to hopefully do it in another location in the city. But, yeah, but I had initially wanted to do that, and then I realized that I need to take care of, you know, I'm a single mom. I do have to take care of my bills and make sure that I'm secure and put my oxygen mask on first before I help. Yeah. And I feel like my oxygen mask's on. I'm breathing pretty good. So I feel like I'm opening to those, that goodness. So
we'll see. Yeah. And I can't wait to see what you do with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a name for it already? Maybe we shouldn't say.
Well, do you know what? It will be an extension of Delish. Yeah, but in some way I'd hope to honor my father who passed away last year.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thanks. He was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in August, and he moved into my house 3 days later, and then he passed away 2.5 months later. So it was pretty intense, but you know, it was in that 2.5 months, you know, it was such a blessing. We had had all kinds of issues through the years, and as soon as that diagnosis was and he moved in, everything was gone. Love only mattered, and yesterday didn't matter. Every day I was living, it was such a blessing.
Awesome. You were able to turn a positive
out of it. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's still really sad and shitty, but you know, if I would have got that phone call that he had a heart attack and died, I would have been in therapy for 10 years.
Right. Yeah, you were able to have that time with him.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting, too, what I learned from that is he would have been sick for a very long time, and he had lost weight, and he wasn't quite himself. But you see, I was starting this, and so I was distracted. And before then, I would go down, and I joked that I was his little wife, because I'd go down on weekends and cook for him, make sure his house was clean, even though mine had just gone, like, it was a total shit show. Right. And I cared for him, and then when I started caring for myself and taking care of my dream, I didn't see him as much. And so that was a little bit of guilt that I had, but as a parent, I also understand I want my kids to live their dreams, you know, no matter what that means. And if he would have got to the doctor and been diagnosed, I never would have started this. Like, I do know he was sick for probably 3 years, having been through lung cancer with another person, just the way that he was. And so it's just interesting to me, you know, to deal with my guilt of finally stepping into, like, it was 18, 20 years since my last cafe, and like really being true to myself and trusting my intuition with this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just still trying to make sense of it all, that, you know, to be okay with that and see that we do have to be true to ourselves, right. You know, independent of what everyone else is going through. And I feel like he knew the type of person I was, that I would never have put myself before taking care of him, you know, like in that situation. So, so it's just been a real intense, like, amazing time.
Amazing journey.
Yeah. Like, when people ask me, how are you doing, Tish? They don't often get just I'm good. Like, every day, seriously, I feel is just a bloody miracle. Like, I feel that. Yeah.
I like that. And mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, get that into other people's minds as well, is mm-hmm. would be great. Mm-hmm. That's really empowering to hear that, especially from a person like you. You know, I feel empowered just hearing you talk right now and sharing your story. So
thanks.
Thank you for that. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Do you know what motivates you?
What motivates me? Coffee.
Yeah. All right.
No, I do love it. Sometimes, yes, getting out of bed in the morning, I am severely addicted, and dreaming of that first coffee does get me moving. But what motivates me, that's really hard. My kids super motivate me. Like, when I first opened this up, and I don't mean to slag anybody here, but a lot of terrible things were said about me from my ex-husband. And I'm not a bad talker at all. Like, I just left everything be. And that wasn't so on the other side. And so my kids had all kinds of things in their head that really confused them, because they saw me, they felt their mom, they knew me, but a very loud
force,
which is your father, which you're supposed to look up to, saying different things. And I felt like during that time, before I opened the cafe, you know, it was a little whatever. So on the first day that I opened, I had my kids here, and it was my sonny's birthday, so of course I had a big to-do. My daughter, who would have been 16 at the time, maybe 15, she was sitting at the front window, and she was just watching me interact with people, and people come in and congratulate, and seeing what I had created, and seeing that this is all me. This is, you know, everything that I believe in, and that was made fun of for so many years, and talked down, like even... she just saw me, and it was like she was seeing me again. Like, oh, there's my mom. Well, that's my mom. Of course. Like, this is my mom. You're like, I just saw the validation, and I saw my truth in her. You know, when I hadn't been seeing it for a while, she'd see me through this messed up lens. And so that day, even if I would have went broke after that day, I didn't care. I was just like, this is so worth it. And on the days where I was open till close for the first 4 months, you know, here at 6:30 in the morning till midnight most days, I just didn't want to go home. I had energy from everywhere. If I left, it was only to go to her basketball games, my son's hockey games, feed them supper, you know, that type of thing. And so that absolutely motivates me, and it continues to.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, sorry, excuse me.
Also, I just want to say as well, I'm motivated to continue listening to my gut and following my intuition. And when I first opened, I had an idea of what I wanted to look like, and I had a friend who's an interior designer, and she saw kind of my colors and things I wanted. She thought I was nuts. She's like, no, like, I can't help you with this. She gave me a palette that looked like a Starbucks, or a, you know, it would just look like a Tim Hortons or anything. And I said, I need to have what I love. Like, you know, the blue over on the other side is from when I went to Greece when I was just out of college. You know, it just reminded me of this one restaurant. That's what it looked like. The other colors, so much Mexican influence. Everything here is reclaimed, like the tables, the chairs, things like that. And these are things that were made fun of during my marriage again. Like, and my truth is I hate waste. I absolutely hate waste in all forms in the world. And I just think that everything has a use. We don't have to keep throwing away, and we don't have to just buy brand new. You know, like the things that I reused here is just hilarious. And so I chose that, and even like some of the decor and stuff, it just spoke to me. It didn't make sense. Like it doesn't have to make sense, but I love it. And I was just like, all the things that I kind of hid. Like I would buy something, or something would speak to me, but I couldn't have it in my usual home because it was made fun of or something. So it's here. And I was like, this is me. This is my truth. And people either love it or they'll hate it, but it can't be wrong because it's my truth. And I don't expect everyone to jive with it, but I'm jiving and I have to be here all the time. So that's why it works for me. And that's what motivates me too, because I absolutely love being here. And every morning when I come in here, I'm just like, yeah. Like, thank you. Like, I, honest to God, walk in here, even if I have the craziest day ahead of me, I'm just like, shit, yeah, this is me, you know,
awesome.
And it's
a
really,
be a great feeling.
It really is, you know, it, I have not had a day where I regret it ever, or it's too much. No.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That
some,
is really good.
Yeah. Some days I'll come home and I hate pantyhose. Usually like I take them off as soon as I get home, but so often, I'll just go lay in my bed. I don't even take, like, I'm just, like, laying there. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm tired. And then I'm just like, but seriously, Tish, you were exhausted because you were so bloody blessed. Like, you're tired because it's so busy today. Like, you know, your stress is a luxury and a blessing. It's insane. You know, even the craziness that's causing me stress, I have lots of customers. I need to have 13 staff. You know, so there's going to be craziness happening because people are supporting me and it's all good, but I get bloody tired sometimes, but I just have to laugh because I'm like, you don't even get to complain. Like, can I not even complain? Because it's just all good. So
I like how you're able to do that. So to feel stressed and then just center yourself and
yeah,
come to that realization.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like
it's really crazy when it's super nuts here.
Yeah.
And chaos, like I thrive in it, but I almost get into like a weird meditative, like I honestly, I go into another place when it is insane, I'm absolutely at my best. I'm in my zone.
Nothing else matters.
No. Even when I'm super exhausted here, a couple different things, it's like I am outside of it and I find, I can't even describe it. I cannot describe it. I go into this peaceful place when it is nutty. When you're in here and there's not a table, not a clean dish, I don't know. It's insane. That's my zone. Weird.
And it just happens automatically for you?
Yeah. I don't try. I don't at all. Yeah. Well, I think it's just my brain. I'm just happy. I'm just so thankful.
Right. Okay.
And when that back is covered in dishes, I am the best damn dishwasher. Seriously, everyone will tell you that. I am so good. They're like, I just attack them. I love my kitchen full of every dish dirty. It's, I don't know, I just get motivated.
That's great.
I know, it's strange.
Yeah, because I don't like doing dishes.
No, I don't love it at home, but here it's just it's a challenge. And
okay,
it's,
so
yeah,
it's different at home.
Yeah.
Dishes, okay.
And maybe here too, it's one way that, it's totally full and then I can do them and I've accomplished something, then something feels done, because
right.
Cafe is never done. You're always playing catch up,
so
always something, and the dishes, whew, sink's empty, yeah. But it's the little things like that that I just get off on, and I can't explain why. And I do have huge dreams, I do dream outside of this. I know,
sure.
Some days I'm like, there's more to me than making this sandwich. I know that. And I'm not lost in that. And I'm not, what am I going to do in 7 years when my lease is up? I'm going to have to work at Costco or something. I have, my dreams are far beyond this, but I'm extremely content and thrilled to be where I am right now. So
that's great.
Yeah, it is.
That's,
I feel like I'm making a real solid foundation for the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you envision as the next step?
Well, definitely.
I know you said the.
Yeah.
Nonprofit.
Yeah, definitely in that area. And within that, I just see so many great opportunities, not only with feeding people immediately, but I see, dinner theater with inner city theater group, part of the, I just see that everybody just needs that one little chance, that one person to give them a chance. And I don't know, food, the entertainment, aspect of it, fun. I don't know if that's somewhere in there. I don't know.
Yeah, just going to create it as you go.
Yeah, I have so many crazy ass things that I'm trying to put into a way that I can try to sell it to people.
Right.
Because, yeah, I'm just way out there with what I would like to do as far as...
Would you just call yourself an artist?
Oh,
Because just from my perspective, how you're talking about how you put yourself into this business, into the look and the feel of everything, I'd say that is, or not, it's not what I say, it's pretty much the general knowledge that when you put your inner self into something else, that is art. So, your cafe, in my opinion, would be art.
Yeah, thank you.
An artful cafe, not just a black and white Starbucks.
I do kind of feel that way. Everything is super personal, and I'm open, and you're right. That's what an artist does, for sure. They're sharing that, and without constraints or without worry of people's boundaries. Yeah,
right.
I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm an artist.
Definitely. with the food that you make and the coffee that you brew.
Yeah,
it's all very, very good. I've tried most of what you have here. Not more.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. I've had a lot, I think, but you have a lot more on the menu that I have yet to try.
Yeah.
So.
I do really feel that with my soup, that is a definite outlet for my creativity. I make at least two every day, and I don't have a recipe. I've never written. I've written two recipes down. I was asked for one for the Food Network last year when I won at the Wintershine Soup Contest.
Yeah.
I'm like, recipe. But I pretty much I really just go with
your intuition.
Yeah, and I can't explain it. I'm going to try and I'm going to try and write them down and try to show that to people, because right. It would be a good thing. Like when I go on holidays, I freeze 16 soups.
Like I make cookbook.
Them. Yeah, yeah. That's I do have that kind of a delish lifestyle cookbooky nice. And full of kind of like a ode to, you know, a lot of my family, you know, and what brought me to here.
Okay.
You know, so there'll be little snippets and family and pictures and kind of sharing myself in the book.
Yeah.
And so that won't be for a while, but I don't want to just do a cookbook and this is what it is. Like right. I don't know.
Yeah, just like you didn't want to just do a coffee shop. You
no.
You want to put yourself into it and
yeah.
create another piece of art.
Yes, that's I think awesome. So.
Yeah, no problem. What do you think was the most important lesson that you've learned when you created this?
That
something
I am.
That you couldn't have predicted and that when you experienced it, it changed the game.
Well, the lesson that I learned, I would say, oh gosh, that's tricky. That I am capable, that I, oh gosh. Sorry, did you say what is the lesson?
Yeah, I learned? Yeah. Exactly. The lesson that you have come to learn through
to absolutely be true to yourself.
Okay.
Be true to yourself. Get to know yourself, listen to yourself, and it won't be wrong. You might be alone a lot. It might suck and may not be easy, but whenever I've gone back to my intuition and trusted that little flame that has been stomped on and all kinds of stuff in my life, I've just always been able to hold on to that and find that and trust in that. And you can't go wrong if you can be quiet and listen to that. It may not make sense to everyone around you or to what your family thinks, you know, or what you've planned for yourself, but I think you need to return to it, and the sooner you do it, the better. Don't wait till you're, you know, 40. Or whatever I was. Like, you don't have to wait, you know?
But at the same time, it's never too late.
No, absolutely not. No. And I honestly feel that my best day hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I know that it's not. I know that I haven't been my best and I haven't fully stepped into my power and had my best day yet. So that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Always. Mm. There's always something better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, you said you've done some traveling and you've put that into your business. Where have you traveled to?
Well, I went on a school trip to England and France in grade 11. And I've been to the States a couple times. I did a lot of West Coast trips with my family. My grandparents, my aunt Tisha in Vancouver, and I'd always do that trip. And that was one of my aunts who, or sorry, that was my aunt who I feel always saw me and would treat me with respect and as a person, even from, you know, I really remember like at age 10, she was in super hippie town and she just accepted me and saw me, and I don't know, she encouraged me all the time. And I've traveled to Mexico quite a few times. Greece, sorry. Where else have I been? I would like to travel a lot more, but...
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
yeah, that was just in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I lived where in Mexico did you go?
Well, I like to... I've been in Cabo, Cancun, Mazatlan, but I generally... I've been taking my kids to Bucerías, which is just north of Nueva Vallarta, Puerto Vallarta, north.
Yeah, I think that was
on your
within,
way to Sayulita.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Right. I believe that was... 15-minute drive from where I was?
Yep, probably, yeah. Just because I've been stalking your pictures, I know where you were. No, just joking. But yeah, I took my kids there probably, I've gone maybe 8 times with them, and I started going to that town because I didn't want them to just go to a resort where they saw every Mexican in perfect white outfits and it basically looking like, oh, Mexico's Disney World. No. You know, we're in a town and we'd see kids selling chocolates at 10 o'clock at night and, you know, see the real part and the beauty of it within that as well. And when we used to go, especially when my kids were in elementary school, we would always take like a suitcase full of school supplies to there's a school there we've kind of hooked up with, and when my kids were quite young, we used to play soccer every night. Well, they did with the kids in the square at Busirias, because there were so much, many of us Canadians there. My sister would go and some other friends, and so we'd play against the Mexicans, and they'd just kick our ass. And so the next year, we brought floor hockey sticks, and we played hockey against them. So every year we do that. But I wanted to instill in my kids, again, we're going to Mexico. Everybody's allowed an extra suitcase. So we would just fill it with stuff and go give it away.
Nice.
Because it doesn't take anything away to give. It doesn't take, you have to put one extra suitcase and you have to drive it to the orphanage or the school.
That a lot. You're going there and coming back with less.
Yep. Very much so.
Most people will come back with more.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
And my kids too, like, oh, you know how mom is, we'll probably have to like stop at the, we'll have to be organizing. But it sat with them, you know, like, you know, it was just kind of thing. Well, what are we taking this time? You know, it wasn't all about them and stuff. So, yeah.
That's a great lesson.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that is great. Do you have any other things like that that you have, that maybe people don't know about yet?
Like different ways
that you give back and pay it forward.
There's some that I don't really need to talk about.
Okay.
Like I do some things with my leftover food here and stuff, my soup and things, but it's...
That's good. No waste.
No.
That's awesome. And you're the greatest. I want to just take some time to just acknowledge you for being an amazing businesswoman who is doing it right. You're not about the commercial aspect of it. You're about being real with people and spreading happiness in everything that you do. Every single story that you've told so far has all just been about helping others and spreading happiness in other people. And that's an amazing quality. I just hope that anyone that listens, for the people that do listen to this, that if they take anything away from it, is to always think about what would Tish do.
Right? That's cute.
She would want to be giving. She would want to show gratitude to somebody. She would pay it forward.
Thanks. Yeah. I need to just acknowledge that, because my favorite little angel pie, Josie, who's in Australia, that I talked about, I used to joke because, you know, there's a bracelet, WWJD, like what would Jesus do? I said it. But I always used to joke with her that it was, what would Josie do? And after she left, like, she is such an inspirational person, and it was absolutely some of her light shining through me, for sure. But it's just, so when you said, what would Tish do? That's just cute to me, because what would Josie do?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think she'll listen to this and come back with the WWTD. Wow, that was hard to think of for some
reason. I know. That's okay.
All right, I have a couple questions that I ask every single person on the podcast. And it's one of them is, if everything that you've ever done was deleted, but you had a chance to leave behind a book, TV show, movie, or an album, that when somebody consumes it, so they watch it, read it, or listen to it, it screams Tish.
Oh, dear God. Oh my word! Okay.
And this is by the way, it filled up.
Okay, that's all good. Okay, that's crazy. That is an intense question.
I know. It's one of my favorites.
Wow, that's an awesome one. It would probably be something by Elvis.
Okay.
Because he had just spoken to me from the get-go. My dad loved him. My kids have loved him. My kids don't listen to any regular music. Like, they're just all good quality music. Like, he is just the real deal. And I don't know which song or what movie or book. That's crazy.
People don't really think about it that much, but Elvis came right from your heart. That was your first answer.
Yeah.
That's great. And, essentially what I do, because with these answers, is
Everything we're doing in there is finishing.
I listen to them, I watch them. Some of them have been, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for one of my guests.
Okay, yeah.
And then Way of the Peaceful Warrior, the book,
okay, yeah,
was another one. Mm. So, you know, some of them I've watched Fresh Prince.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I read that book, and
yeah,
now I'll listen to Elvis's songs.
Yeah.
And that'll give me more of a sense of who you are. And,
yeah.
While I'm putting the producing this podcast episode.
Yeah. I especially love In the Ghetto.
In the Ghetto.
By Elvis, and also American Trilogy.
Okay.
And that was a song that I played for my dad as he passed away.
As he passed away. So you were there in his very last waking moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's really powerful.
And pretty much, you'll listen to that song, and it was pretty much his last. Was as it just finished at the very end, and it's really powerful.
Yeah,
that's right. It's
crazy. Well, can't wait to listen to
yeah.
I feel like I'm going to be able to feel exactly how you, maybe not exactly how you feel, because I don't want to downplay that anyway. But,
but it's just he was real, and, and he had a big heart.
Awesome. Awesome. And he will live forever in your work.
There you go.
In your children's work.
Yeah.
Another similar question. It's very related to it. But this time, the book, the album, the TV show, or movie, it teaches a very important lesson that your friends, your family, your children have to learn and apply.
Oh my gosh. You know, I would love to think on this. I don't know. Every time Shawshank Redemption's on, I have to watch it. And I can't even describe what it is that speaks to me so much. And my kids, we just all stop and watch it every time.
It is a great movie.
There are just so many elements to it that speak to me. You know, I'm lost.
No, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
I see exactly what you mean, and just with myself too, I'm unable to articulate it as well. But you know, it's definitely a powerful movie.
Yeah, I just appreciate Morgan Freeman's his narration kind of the situation, you know, and just his seeing it, and people who have done terrible things are not terrible people necessarily, and I don't know.
It's a good movie. And,
yes.
And you're able to, you know, rise up and start fresh, essentially.
Yeah. And he ends up somewhere nice and hot.
Yeah.
And he's loving life. And he gets, it's all happy.
Is that the end goal for you?
Yeah.
To be somewhere.
Yes, I would love to be. But I do know that my reality would have to be around my children and grandchildren, hopefully. But, see, here's where you throw open throw it open. My mom, she was just like, yeah, you say that, but you know, once there's grandkids, because she's in Mexico, she's there for 4 months every year. But she said, you know, you're going to have to do some traveling before the grandkids come because you'll want to be around. But see, for me, I intend on having the success that flying home, flying them to me a couple times a month is my reality. So it doesn't matter if I'm flying to them from Mexico or if I'm flying to them. And also, too, where do you think my kids might be? The world is open to them. So they may be the ones living in Mexico. They may be the ones living in London. Like, you know, I don't feel... I always think outside of, like, it's almost... I was a little shit when I was a kid sometimes. It's almost like when people say a certain thing, I want to see the... Like, I want to prove it wrong. Like, and I'm not... troublemaker, but I'm just like, no, like same with government, with, you know, different programs or things. Why does it have to be like, I always question, because I don't know, I just think that we could make better choices, and that includes where I might be. But I do love warm. I absolutely love warm.
That's good. Yeah. That coffee, warm.
Yeah.
In a
but beach.
Cold place like Saskatoon.
I love beach so much.
I do too. And, you know, I didn't go on a trip like what I just went on for the longest time.
Yeah.
Since 2008 was the last time. And it's pretty much because I feel like I'm accustomed to the cold, and that's my thing.
Yes.
I sweat so easily.
Oh, okay.
You know, heat is not
your friend.
My thing. Not my friend, because... summer here, the same temperature in Saskatoon as opposed to when in Mexico. It feels hotter here for some reason. Down there, I was amazed at it.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sweating.
Yeah.
Anyways,
nice. And also, too, I love the water. Like, I feel like I'm actually a mermaid. Like, that could be put on record. I'm not even lying. I love the water.
That'll be the title.
Yeah. I, honest to God, like, it calms me. I love it. When I did Ironman in 2010.
Ironman?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I, like, during the swim, almost 4K. Probably was 4K. It's 3.8, but everybody's like, not going straight. I was at such peace. The sun was coming up over the hills in Penticton. I had a little tear floating in my goggles because I was so at peace. I was just like, wow. You know, and I'm in the water with a thousand other people climbing on me and stuff, over a thousand. But it was just my place, my zone. I almost go into a meditative, crazy, weird sleep when I'm swimming.
Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of training did you have to do for that?
I trained for 10 months.
10 months.
I trained every day except 3 days, and at least once a day, sometimes twice. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? That was kind of the beginning of the end of my marriage between you and I. I decided to do this, and I was like, if I'm going to do this, I am going to do it properly. So I hired a coach.
Okay.
Out of Calgary, and my very good friend Jennifer Sparks, who writes all the books that I sell here, and she does stuff. We trained together. That's when we met. We met on that journey, and so I paid this coach, and I did exactly what she said. I didn't pretend that I knew how to train. I didn't pretend. I had never been trained in anything in my life. I had never speed swam. I had never done anything, and I never swam lengths. I never, like, I love swimming, but I would never go and actually do it for, you know. And so I just did everything she said, and that was a huge journey. And finding what I was made of. And at that time, my best friend's husband was diagnosed with lung cancer. That was my first awareness of it. And so I was helping her with her 3 kids, helping with him. And so when I'd go out for my 5-hour bike ride, I would be like, I get to go ride my bike for 5 hours. Whereas my other people who are training kind of beside me, and at the same time, they're like, you know, like, I got to be on my trainer. And I was just like, being with him at the hospital or help, you know, seeing that what he was going through, I just felt super blessed whenever I was able to have my able body doing whatever it was. Going running for 3 hours, that's baby shit. Like, I'm not going, I get to do that, you know, like, and so then my training would fuel going and sitting at the hospital. And when I was at the hospital, I would take that and use that energy. Like, it was amazing. And that's why I've never done it since. Like, I haven't even gone in a triathlon since. It was just the perfect situation. And I do want to do triathlons again. I had done them for 8 years before then, just on a real minor scale.
Okay.
And, but yeah, that was amazing. And so I trained and I showed up that morning. And it was an amazing day. And in fact, the most tired muscle the next day was my face. Because I was just smiling. Every damn picture, I look like a bloody halfwit. Seriously, I'm so smiling. Like, every single picture. And it was hard. But yeah, I did it. I loved it.
So for those that don't know, myself included,
yes,
what does it all entail, like, the distance-wise for the swimming?
The swim is 3.8 kilometers, then the bike is 180 kilometers, and then the run is 42 kilometers, so a full marathon after everything.
Right.
Yeah. All in one day. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely on my bucket list of things to accomplish.
Mm.
I'm not there yet, though.
Yeah, no, do you know what? You just have to decide to do it. That's what I've learned. And the lesson with my cafe was so many things. You just have to decide. And once you've decided and you put it out to the universe, it's going to happen.
That's when you're ready. Once you decide.
Yeah. But when you're saying it to people, or when you're kind of going along with people or the crowd, then nothing good will happen. You have to decide for yourself for the right reasons. Then you will be a success 100%.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that can apply to pretty much everything.
Everything. Because if you decide, that's what's going to happen. Like, it's just, it really is as simple as that. Oh, Yoda knew what he was talking about. Like,
right.
Seriously.
Do or do not.
Yeah, there's no try. Like, seriously. That makes no sense to me.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot today.
Oh,
I hope you know that.
And
everyone that's listening to this, they're definitely learning a lot too. And that's what makes me most excited about speaking with people like yourself. This is awesome.
Good, thanks.
Is there anything that you wanted to specifically touch on that we didn't get to yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I really don't think
so. What is the best way for people to find you on the internet?
Right now it's Facebook.
Okay.
My website is not up. I'm technology inept.
Okay.
I should have been born 100 years ago. Serious as a heart attack. I would have been the best homesteading woman, running the saloon, whatever. I'm going to love technology someday, but it's not, I'm not good at it. I do like the real life stuff. Anyways, this is real now, I know. I need to come into the century. But Facebook is the absolute best right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and when I do have an awesome website, it will be on the Facebook.
Perfect. And I'll put all the links and stuff on this episode.
Sure.
So when those come into fruition, I'll update the show notes as well. Because people, you know, they'll be listening to this now, and they'll be listening to this when they find this podcast in a year from now.
Okay.
And so
cool.
I'll keep updating the page.
Sure.
But right now, what's the Facebook address? Facebook.com/ is it Dilish?
I'm sorry. It is Dilish by Tish Cafe.
Dilish by Tish Cafe. Okay. Perfect.
Good.
All right,
thank
you. I'll put that link there and maybe your email?
Sure.
Yeah.
TISHAW@sasktel.net.
All right, perfect.
Good.
Yeah, I'll put that all in there. And definitely, if you're listening to this and you're in Saskatoon, come check out Tish's Cafe. Dilish. It's delicious.
It is at 702 14th Street East, where Tempins and Lansdowne go into a cute little triangle. Kind of in the university area.
Excellent, yeah. And if you're traveling to Saskatoon, definitely make this one of your destinations, and you'll thank us later.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, thank you so much, Tish, for making some time to do this. I had a blast, and hope you did too.
Yes.
I can't wait to share this with everybody. This is
I appreciate
awesome.
It. Yeah. Thanks. I haven't thought about those kind of things for a while. That gives me a lot of motivation for today.
Awesome.
Thanks. It was kind of not the best morning, so good.
Turn it around.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, there you have it. That was episode number 24 with Tish. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed that time spent learning from Tish in all of our interactions prior to and finally having a chance to have a meaningful conversation. I learned so much about her, and I've already started applying the generosity that she has taught me during that time. All right, this is where I need your help. I need you to like this podcast episode. I need you to subscribe on iTunes. If you're listening on SoundCloud, just hit the follow button. Head over to Facebook because I am starting or already started a new project. In addition to this, there is a Monday podcast video. It's a 5 to 10 minute video and audio podcast. So you can find it here as well if you subscribe. As well, Tuesdays, I'm writing a brand new blog post every week on my website. Every Wednesday, I'm releasing a entertaining video in 360 degrees. I'm going all in on this new technology, and I'm doing my best to bring you the best content to experience this new dimension of video for magic, hypnosis, mentalism, and snowboarding, of course. Martial arts too, will probably bring you some of those some of those videos as well. But yeah, that is it for now. Go to hadlin.com/connect for all of my social media connections and links. And make sure you find me on Snapchat at Hadlin. All right, that's it. That's enough plugs for now. I don't want to overwhelm you, but I will see you next Monday. So that is in, wow, I have to do math, 3 days, 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Monday, 4 days. Yep. All right. Sorry, guys. It's really early in the morning when I'm doing this. And all right, no more excuses. Thank you so much. I appreciate each and every one of you listening to my podcast. Have a great day. And remember, go out there every single day and work as hard as you can towards your goals.
Lines have been crossed, not broken. Words kept inside, not spoken. My heart in my throat, I'm choking. You got me, you got me, you got me. Oh! Vision is blurred, not fading. My heart is so heavily weighted. You got me, you got me. Oh, now I'm losing control, and I can't take anymore. This ain't what I am looking for. You got me, you got me, you got me. You got me, you got me, you got me.